Everybody, welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
What's up, Adam? I'm doing really good. I'm doing, I just kind of getting all settled into the new lifestyle that we lead these days, and
What kind of lifestyle are you talking about, Daniel?
Well, you know, weirdly enough, in a time where we try to stay inside and stay home, we've found that we're walking to the grocery store more. And I don't know why we're doing that. We almost got caught in a rainstorm today. But yeah, no, we're walking to the grocery store more. Put a lot more thought into what we make for dinner. Dinner is a big deal. It's kind of like it's like all day is a lead up to dinner time. I feel like I've talked about this on a podcast already. Anyways, what I'm saying
I think you've already talked about
there's not a whole lot of new stuff that, you know, to talk about, but that's kind of what's good. I'm getting settled into just like, you know, same thing every day. I don't know. How about you guys? How you faring these days?
Oh, fine. I figure we should get someone on this podcast who has a fresh perspective. We over here rehashing the same stories. Today, Daniel, our friend Alex H. is on the podcast.
Hello! How you doing, Alex? A biblical hello to you today.
A biblical receiving of the hello.
Is there a biblical like greeting? I know like there's the Jesus and the disciples, they would do a kiss. They had a greeting kiss, I mm-hmm. think was the tradition. You have that bit
nice
about
sloppies.
About the you've betrayed me with a kiss line, you know.
Yeah, like Judas.
Right.
All 30 silver boy.
Sometimes people touch a thigh.
In Catholic Mass, they used to say, peace be with you, and then
right.
you would
and
say,
also
and
with
also
you.
With you, but they changed
but they
that recently.
Changed it, right.
Yeah, I can't
and
remember
with
what...
with your spirit
is
the new one, and with your spirit. That was it's kind of a litmus test for if you hadn't been to Mass in a while, you know, you'd go, and also with your spirit...
What's the deal? What's the change?
To
for?
Me, that sounds like a correction.
It is
of what
strictly
someone has said
worse
to you.
Than with and also with you. Like and also with you, it just flows better. It sounds nice,
and you can tell that it's a direct response. Like it's if someone says peace be with you, and you say and also with your spirit, it's like you forgot the spirit part. It doesn't sound like
right.
I'm also wishing you
yes,
well.
Yes, they should be
it sounds like
I'm
correcting you.
And with your spirit. And also with your spirit. I think I combined them. I don't know. But yes, I'm not a fan of the addenda. What is that? The errata. The
Ooh.
Church errata to that. I do not know the reason for it. There must be some doctrinal reason why they changed it. But it's not a good
church.
Aesthetic choice.
Church errata sounds a lot like a search term.
They released the change log in the last version update of Catholicism.
It's in the patch notes.
I'm just amazed that they were able to get that shit done. Like it seems like that'd be pretty hard to roll out. They did it.
Yeah.
That's why you know Catholics are more powerful than Protestants. Split up 9 million ways.
Yes, they had quite a bit of unity.
What's the old Pope doing these days? I wonder. You know, because normally he goes on he's on a tour, and then or he's just at hometown preaching.
Heard like a rumor that apparently, because of the pandemic, everyone's staying inside. You can't go to Mass, and you know Catholicism's whole thing. Is that like you can't get to God? right now because you have to go through a priest.
Yeah.
That's like Catholicism's whole foundation. And I heard that apparently the Pope just basically said, you can, it's fine. Like, you know, like you can get to God. It's okay. And it's kind of making me go, oh, okay. Maybe that Protestant Reformation thing, maybe that was okay then, you know? If only someone came up with this idea a while ago.
Well, we are kind of the ultimate representation of the dangers of the Protestant Reformation, or the idea that any old schmuck can read the Bible.
Right. I think that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, I think we might be the example of what they were trying to prevent from happening.
you can't let everybody read it.
It could be disastrous, as it's about to be. Alex, I'm excited to have you on for the Ten Commandments.
Yes, this is a big deal. And in fact, it's such a big deal that I'm going to go ahead and start the theme music, because now Readin' Heathens is not only a Bible podcast, but it is also a game show. A game show called The Exodus Exam. And of course, the Exodus Exam. I was trying to find some kind of alliteration, and that was a good EX compromise Exodus Exam. Yeah. And I was thinking of doing something with like the commandments, something, but I couldn't find anything. So we begin, as always, before we read the chapter, the first question reveals the theme of the Exodus Exam. We begin, very easy. How many commandments were given to Moses on the Mount?
Including... I mean, it's the Ten Commandments, but I feel like there's a way you can weasel some extra commands that were given.
You could, but I'm just
Moses.
Counting 10. So that is okay. Correct. 10, it is the guinea.
I was going to go with 26.
And of course, that would be incorrect. Pretty sure there's not 26. But my initial question is, how many of the Ten Commandments can you recall?
Maybe Ooh. 4.
Do we do this as a team?
No, I am keeping count for both of you.
Thou shalt not kill.
That is correct.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Correct.
Thou shalt not create graven images.
Yes. I'm going to give you 20 more seconds beginning now.
Thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy.
Correct. All on Adam B's side, none on Daniel T's side, 13 seconds remaining.
Well, thou shalt not be rude to your mom and dad.
Judges will count it. Judges will count that.
Don't covet your neighbor's wife.
That is correct. Yeah, and their seconds are over. We start the Exodus Exam. Adam B. up with a staggering 6 points, and Daniel T. with a pathetic 1 point to begin the Exodus Exam, whose theme is, of course, commandments throughout history. After we finish the official chapter, the exam will continue in round 2.
I like this exam because I'm trouncing Daniel.
Well, I forgot. I was trying to figure out how they worded don't misuse the Lord's name. I guess don't.
Yeah, okay, well,
right.
Whatever.
Yes.
Don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Well, and we'll get to chatting about this later, but that's not exactly what's written in the NIV, at least right now.
The interpretation is quite different on that
so
one in particular.
I'm Sabbath
going to
and
be
keep
reading,
it holy. That's a good one.
I'm actually going to be reading from the King James version here because I feel like it is understandable and I feel like it carries more weight because it's definitely a little harsher.
Yeah, some of these where
I am a King James fan. I'm a King James is my favorite translation of the Bible, the Cadillac of Bible translations.
We usually avoid it because we're too stupid to also deal with the layer of that old language on top of us trying to figure out what's going on. But today is a special day.
Today seems
So I'm going to go ahead and get started with Exodus 20, King James Version, and here it comes. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, wait, no, I had a different voice going for God. I kind of want to keep it.
Yeah, you
and God
keep it
spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Your God's kind of sounding like a ghost.
He's a little spooky.
Like a Dickensian ghost.
Yeah, he's definitely got a powdered
wig. He's like down
wig.
The hall somewhere. He's kind of, he's having to kind of moan his words.
He really doesn't want to get out of the lazy boy. Bring me the remote.
Thou shalt bring me the remote.
The first commandment is thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Mm, yes.
So
yeah.
I guess that leaves room for you to have smaller gods as long as they're not before.
Right. Yes, and that, I mean, that's one of the issues we're dealing with so far in the Old Testament, this idea of is it canon that Jehovah acknowledges the presence of other gods?
Yeah.
Is this like a polytheistic situation going on? And this seems to be another point in the evidence column for yes. He's just saying, okay, none before me. I'm on top.
Yeah,
those other guys.
Still, it's still worship the god of cattle, runny noses, or whatever, mm-hmm. small specific gods. And then immediately following suit, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Wow.
The water under the earth.
I think that means space. Because in the creation story, God creates
we have
like
the firmament, the sky, and yes.
And then there's oceans above it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's sky water.
So we're not supposed to be making images of planets? We're not supposed to be making images of hell?
Right. This is a famously kind of ambiguous commandment, this whole graven image business. This strikes me as something that made more sense at the time. Like, oh yeah, graven images. Like, everyone would be like totally vibing with that. But now it's just like, no statues, no books.
What came first? Was it this I like the way this is written down? Because you know, or hold on, I'm collecting my thoughts while I'm saying this. Because like,
great podcasting.
Well, you know, what are these fucking dumb dumbs who listen to this show expect?
I
all the science
hate your listeners.
Yeah,
they deserve worse.
I'm thinking like all the old astrologers and stuff. Didn't a lot of them end up in prison and things for their studies and what they said was going on?
This is before that was more a result of the formation of or the dominance of Christianity.
Yeah,
I think there was a lot less hostility toward science. But I think why this was more relevant. I think specifically in my mind, what this commandment is about. Is a graven image isn't just like, oh, there's a picture of Jesus on your grandma's wall. In this case, they were worshiping items, like, mm-hmm, and
right.
kings, you
idols.
Know, you could steal someone's idol from their city and you had stolen their god. And I think this is God saying, like, you can't contain my glory in any object.
Along that same reasoning, I've heard an interesting interpretation of this kind of part of the doctrine, this idea that that the Jehovah God was kind of unique in that aspect of kind of being an iconoclast and saying, I am too big, I am too grand to be contained in an image, and that when one gets in that practice of praying to, like, say, a symbol, like a cross, even like you, when you get to that point of the cross itself, the symbol begins to be what it represents rather than what it represents, that's a negative thing. It's a cool idea. It seems a bit of a stretch to me. It seems like someone put some thought into that, like someone chewed on this commandment and they came to this cool conclusion, but the commandment itself, could use a little clarification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tighten that bad boy up. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick up with, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God.
Oh, here's the clarification. Right here.
Yeah, here it comes. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Yeah, this is that nasty God. This is that I'm gonna make generations of yours suffer.
throwing in that sentiment, kind of that ancient Persian sentiment of like, well, do what I say, or else horrible pain and death. How many did he mention generations there?
Yeah, he said unto the third and fourth generation.
Third and fourth. Generation kind of weak, because sometimes we avenge sevenfold.
Yeah, there's, I think earlier in Abraham's day there was some stuff dealt out for seven generations.
Yeah,
but if you show some love, you get 1,000 generations. So you can't buy a few more generations, you know,
right.
After
and
your
if
fourth
you forgive,
bad one.
77 times 7 times, then it doesn't go to the 1,000th generation.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the.
I'm skipping ahead of
math.
Sorry, spoilers for later in the Bible. Sorry.
Here's verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. All right.
Yeah, but this is another one of those that's like today. It's like, does that just mean, because clearly God has become this this kind of pejorative term that is almost universal, kind of bridges the gap between all just kind of English speakers, just like, oh God, you know, or oh my God, is just like a thing. And that's what I always thought of as a kid, is like, mm-hmm. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. But
oh,
here,
I had some
it's
people
probably
who were very mad.
Yeah, it's probably not specifically that, you know, like just literally speaking it.
It's
probably
more like, oh my Jehovah, or the great I am, damn it.
Yeah, right. So you shouldn't be using the phrase I am.
I also wondered when I was younger, I always wondered if it was more of a... you're using his name or his teachings to do something bad. I thought that when I first read it years ago, I didn't know it. And then later on, they were like, no, just don't say Jesus Christ mean in a mean way. That was our thing, is you can't yell Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's more like, don't use my name to build a mega church and then embezzle from it and drive around sports cars.
I was once, corrected, like scolded, at a job of mine for exclaiming Jesus Christ. It was a manager who I kind of thought was cool, and that's why I said it. They were kind of like, so how's it been? It was like a crazy day, crazy shift, and I was like, Jesus Christ. And he was like, ha ha ha, cheese and rice.
Oh man.
I was like, oh, he's one of those guys. So didn't do that again.
My dad was never strict about it. I didn't really say oh my God that much, but I always had to be careful if I was dating someone and shared in Arkansas. If I said oh my God in front of some parents, it would be like saying fuckity fuck McFuckers.
Right, right.
It was bad news.
A serious offense.
Yeah, I remember one of my a girl I dated in high school, her dad watching a TV show, and he had a beer in his hand, and he turned around in disgust and looked at us and just said, they're just saying they're just saying this stuff like it's not even cussing. They're saying, "Oh my God!" Like it's not even.
Did you go for
curse.
"Oh my God" light? The "Oh my gosh"? Did you go for "gosh"?
I did a lot of "Oh my gosh," and Dad also "Oh my gosh." He would say a lot, and I remember people at church saying, "Well, that's really, you know what you're saying,
right?
You're saying,
yeah,
oh my
you
God.
Can't say that either because like, oh well, you mean God when you say gosh, and it's like, oh man,
no,
I'm can't
just
win.
Trying to exclaim." Which is why I have moved on to Jesus Christ. One, because I feel like Jesus is pretty cool. Maybe he won't send me to hell for that. And also, Jesus Christ is a great exclamation.
Yeah.
It rolls
it
off the
tongue.
It feels
much more severe as well.
Yeah.
That's like the
yeah.
next level up. It's like I'm zooming in on this religion to its specific, you know, figurehead instead of just like the general deity.
Could be anyone's God. No, I'm calling out Jesus specific.
This one specifically, yes.
I'm going to pick up with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all in it, and all that is in them, or all... And this is why I don't do the King James Version. And all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Yes, Sabbath. Seventh day.
Pretty good union move there. I mean, it's nice that it expands all the way to the cattle.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. And any foreigners, they're always worried about how people are going to treat the foreigners that come into their cities. That's something that pops up a lot in the Old Testament.
I like that as a basis for a religion, though, is like, hey, if you're going to be representing me, I'm your God. You better make sure that anyone who comes to visit knows how cool I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But remember, I believe it is canon still, maybe. That if a foreigner comes into your house and is not circumcised, they don't get to take part in any of the ceremonies.
Oh, yeah.
But they can be circumcised, and then they get to take part.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, I lost it. Whatever I was going to say, it flew away.
Which is why we always kept a sharp knife at our church, you know, just in case.
Just in case what?
Just in case somebody needed to be circumcised. Oh. It was a circumcision.
The moil nearby. Just in case. You had to snip. Yeah.
Moil or just a guy named Jerry.
One of those general Jewish laws that I kind of like, this whole law of Jubilee, this idea of like every seventh period of time you rest everything. Because it extends quite a bit further. You have the Sabbath is the big one, but you also have, like, in farming. They're like, every 6 years, you'll farm a piece of land, and then that seventh year, just let it chill. Now, that always struck me as like, okay, that's a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
Like I think it extends to slaves as well. It's just like, okay, every seventh year, it's like, okay, you're just free.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, that's cool.
They just escaped slavery, and we already have laws coming up in the next chapter for how to treat slaves.
Right.
So, yeah. Like, it's like, here we go. I was going to say that as an acolyte in my church, I really hated the job of having to check everyone who was new to see if they were circumcised.
Oh.
It's really difficult. The little TSA booth.
Yeah.
Was it part of the newsletter? Like you just had to check a box. Circumcised? Yes. No. I don't know.
Picking up with verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. All right. I mean, yeah. It's pretty simple. We got a whole slate. I'm just going to run through because we're running long on time here. with verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Oh, that's interesting. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And that's the end of the Ten Commandments.
And now that we have reached the end of the Ten Commandments, it is time for round two of the Exodus exam. I have here, of course, commandments throughout history. These questions contain works which have somehow lampooned the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament and are presented in chronological order. I will begin with how many of these commandments there are, and then there will be a 10-second bonus round, lightning round, in which you can name any of those commandments. Animal Farm, the seminal novel written by George Orwell in 1945, featured the commandments of animalism. How many commandments were there?
Three.
Oh, Jesus.
We have a guess of three. Daniel
Four?
T. Four. Those are both incorrect. There are seven commandments of animalism. You have 10 seconds to name any that
read.
You might know.
Thou shalt not kill.
That is correct. And your 10 seconds is up. That is correct.
False
one
witness
of the
to a cow.
Commandments is no animal shall kill any other animal.
Oh.
And of course, the famous commandment is all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. We move on to the film History of the World, Part 1, directed by Mel Brooks in 1981. The question is, how many commandments did God originally give to Moses?
100.
15.
We have a guess of 100. We have a guess of 15. Daniel T., you are correct.
Yeah,
the joke, of course, is that Moses comes down from the mountain, says, God has given us 15. He drops a tablet. 10 commandments for all to obey. We move on to 2002.
Wow, that's good comedy content. We should try to be funnier, Daniel.
It's a great, it is a great bit. He just drops it and he's like, oh. 10 commandments, which you're coming up on. You know, Moses does do some tablet smashing of his own. But we move on to 2002 in the performance Complaints and Grievances by George Carlin. He does a joke in which he condenses the 10 commandments down to a smaller number of commandments. How many commandments does George Carlin condense it to?
Six.
We have a guess of six.
Daniel T. Five. I can't remember.
A guess of six and five. Those are both incorrect. George Carlin condenses to two commandments. The two commandments are, thou shalt always be honest and faithful to the provider of thy nookie. And two, thou shalt try real hard not to kill anyone, unless, of course, they pray to a different invisible man from the one you pray to. We move a couple years later to 2004. I'm going to read a lyric from a rap song. Your goal is to guess the rapper. The name of the song is Rain Man. The lyric goes like this. Now in the Bible it says, thou shalt not watch two lesbians in bed have homosexual sex. Unless, of course, you were given the consent to join in, then, of course, it's intercourse, and it's bisexual sex, which isn't as bad. Who is the rapper?
I don't think it's actually E-40, but that's who I want to hear say that.
I guess of E-40.
Is it R. Kelly?
2000.
I guess
what's
R. Kelly's not a rapper. I was going to go R. Kelly, but I don't know.
Those are both incorrect. That is indeed Eminem. From his album Encore. Encore. We move on to
fact,
our...
I would like to hear E-40 perform covers of all of Eminem's material.
Our final question in the Exodus exam. We have, in 2009, the film directed, written, and starring Ricky Gervais, The Invention of Lying. There is a sequence in which the man who invents lying lampoons the Ten Commandments by telling everyone the 10 statements that tell us what happens after we die. You have 20 seconds to recall any of these statements or make a wild guess as to what the statements about what happens after you die are. Beginning now.
Worms eat you.
Worms eat you is incorrect.
You sleep on a cloud.
Sleep on a cloud is close, but incorrect.
You don't have to watch Ricky Gervais movies.
judges, you can
eat banana pudding.
Banana pudding. Judges, judges are counting not having to watch Ricky Gervais movies. We're going to count that as correct.
Ooh.
And banana pudding, judges are also going to count that as correct because one of the statements is that when you die, there will be free ice cream for everyone.
Oh. That's pretty good.
And the final tally of the Exodus exam commandments throughout history, we have a winner of Adam B. with a total of 7 points. Daniel T. got 4 points. Oh. In the Exodus exam. Thank you for playing this time. Is there more to the chapter? I just kind of barreled into that.
Yeah, we just got to get through a couple stories.
That was a disgraceful performance by my co-host. I'd like to apologize to our listeners.
Well, look, there's a reason why I don't know as much, because in our church we were discouraged from actually knowing what the Bible says. We just took what they told us.
Okay.
I'd just like to thank you, Alex, for the victory. I'm going to plow through the remainder of this chapter. I'm just going to read it real fast.
Plow away.
This is verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you. And that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Sounds like a volcano. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, You have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of the earth thou shalt make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if I lift up thy tool on it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon.
Yes, the Israelites, they're going up to that altar, and they're laying their tools upon that altar, is what God's worrying about.
This is why I didn't want to say Ten Commandments, because Moses gets some bonus commandments over here.
I also love this bit because we have a classic piece of bizarre complaining where they're like, well, don't talk to us because, you know, we'll die. Just talk to Moses.
He's terrifying. Yeah, we don't want to see God. That thing's going to kill us.
Well, these people are known for complaining. I mean, like, it's most of the time something happens. They can't find any water and they turn to Moses and complain enough that God is like, well, here's some water. Squeeze
well,
on some
it works.
Rocks. Yeah.
It's been proven to work over and over. They had to complain in Egypt, and they have to complain in the desert.
So is he saying here that you're not supposed to build build an altar with tools? Like it's supposed to be just crafted out of stones?
Yeah, you could just lay some rocks on top of each other, I guess. This is some Amish-sounding stuff.
And some kind of bit about, like, make sure your wearing some underwear first, man. Are we going to see all that? They're like,
yeah. I don't know what the nakedness.
Yeah, it was something like you're going to walk over the stones. Like, you can't be naked over the stones or something. Strange.
Naked Over the Stones is a good album name.
I can tell you what the old Quest Bible says, and I like this one about the nakedness. It says, pagan religions of that day often featured altars with steps. By not allowing such architecture, Israel would be less likely to include paganism in their worship. This phrase may refer to the ritual prostitution that occurred at pagan altars. So pagans did some prostitution on their altars.
Don't want a part in any of that. This is an entirely new religion. We don't need any of that old stuff at all. So this is God being like a little hipstery with his altar, I guess. You got to make something that's like, don't even work that stone, and we're not doing any of that step shit.
He's not a big fan of human innovation.
Yeah.
He's not impressed by tools.
Like, you must DIY your altars.
And then we know how to make steps. Well, that was a fantastic chapter. If I were going to rate it on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, I would give this chapter a 5 stars. Because what else am I going to do? This is classic Bible. This is the Ten Commandments. This is that shit they want to put outside of courthouses and a bunch of other bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's core Bible, so I'm giving it 5 stars.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
I'd have to agree. I would also give Exodus 20 5 stars. It is an iconic chapter. If it's one of the few chapters that non-Christians know anything about, because this notion of a all-knowing deity giving the very specific rules to humanity is just a cool concept. And like the Exodus exam taught us, has kind of gone down through the ages, this idea, whether making fun of it or trying to emulate it. It's a very interesting concept, and it's interesting to argue about. It's a 5-star chapter.
Yes.
You know what? You can't give it less than 5 stars. I mean, it's on the Mount Rushmore of Bible stories, you know, and it doesn't disappoint. It's fun.
You could still call it, you could still say it's in the Golden Plate Club. You just say it's the Mormon Golden Plates what was it, Adam Smith had or whatever.
I'm just saying, Daniel, if you're going to put Bible chapters on Mount Rushmore, it's going to be hard to read them from below.
Well, that's where you would stand and look through one of those magnifying glasses.
Bible chapters are on Mount Rushmore. They're just so small that they're on their foreheads.
But yeah, 5 stars. That's great.
Thanks so much for being on today. Alex, would you care to join us for our next episode?
I would absolutely care to join you for your next episode.
Well, fantastic. Do you have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Yes. Viewers, gentle viewers of Readin' Heathens, listeners, if you will, if you like the kind of psychedelic, interesting videos put out by Adult Swim's Off the Air, you would enjoy my hour-long themed audio mixes. I'm on SoundCloud under the name Scoundrel Esque. That's Scoundrel -ESQUE. I make them just for fun. They're hour long. They've got themes. They've got a lot of like movie clips. I like to edit audio, and they're a lot of fun. I also want to put out a double plug for a fellow hosted pod program. I am a Gumbo Goon, member of the Gumbo Gang. Which is the cohort which follows Schaefer's show Lightning Hot on Friday evenings.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. I'm talking about that Gumbo Gang, baby. That's twitch.tv/hostedpod for that content. And do check out those audio mixes, guys. This is a great time to do some funky spring cleaning while you're trapped in your homes.
I've heard it's called jams. Quarren cleaning.
Ooh.
Well, we'll catch
you all. Sorry, go ahead, Daniel.
I said, yeah, it's a great episode. It's awesome. Thanks for being here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.